the reason I take a trauma-informed lens is because a lot of people and women have a history of trauma. And when we have a history of trauma, we can carry a lot of freeze response energy and or fight or flight response energy. And that's very normal, very healthy. That is a protective response from the nervous system to help us survive and be safe and, you know, be okay in the world. But if we're living from that place, and I think our society, to be quite honest, like lives from the fight flight response, right? That's a lot of cortisol, a lot of adrenaline to be living off, and that depletes your life force energy. And the more we can learn how to be more often in rest and digest with ourselves, but also not shame or pathologize the trauma responses, then our life force energy goes towards health and vitality versus survival and defenses.
Welcome to Wildflow Podcast with me, Charlotte Puanto. I'm an internationally award-winning menstrual cycle and embodiment coach, cycle mysteries guide, and founder of the First Moon Circle School of Menstrual Education for Children. Tune in for deep, heartfelt conversations with wisdom keepers, embodied leaders, and change makers on themes from cyclical living in flow with your menstrual cycle and body's wisdom, reclaiming rites of passages to normalize period positivity for you and the next generation, and exploring our embodied experiences, soulful transformations, and intuitive wisdom guiding you to express and embody your full power and the change you want to see in the world. Are you ready? Let's flow. I love this conversation. We have Lisa DeYoung speaking with us today. She is a health coach and educator specializing in women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, and trauma. Lisa has a one-to-one practice coaching clients online, and she's the founder of the globally accredited professional training, menstrual cycle coaching, and facilitation professional training. She takes a really holistic, integrative, and trauma-informed lens in all of her work. She brings a gentle yet powerful approach to her clients and groups, supporting them in the understanding of their body, their nervous system, and in relationship to agency and better decision-making for recovery. Lisa hosts the podcast From Pain to Power, and she is based in Ireland. So I invited Lisa to come and chat with us because I really like the approach that she takes to menstrual cycle work. As I've just explained with her bio, she's really focused on pain, and taking a really trauma-informed approach to the work means that she's really considering what pain is, you know, what it's manifesting at from, what these deeper inner conflicts might be, this sort of nervous system approach, this the way that the body is holding on to, you know, past stored previous pains and traumas, and it's manifesting in the current moment in these ways that can show up as chronic pain or occasional pain. And so Lisa's approach is, you know, not just about helping people to get the relief from that pain that they're experiencing, but to do that inner work as well that's needed. And I think this is just so important. I see it, you know, very much myself in my cycle coaching work that, you know, it's the deeper inner work that is where a lot of the healing is required. We can make the kind of surface level lifestyle changes and they can be really helpful, but there's also this real deeper inner approach that's required. And I know for certain that when I do my work with clients that, you know, we go very deep, very quickly in a really beautiful, safe, and trauma-informed way. So it's great to speak to Lisa, who also takes a real deep dive look, but also that broader view when it comes to pain and well-being. And so today she's sharing on, you know, a range of topics. We were talking about her journey from corporate to discovering menstrual cycle awareness and growing a really successful and thriving professional business in the menstrual cycle space and what that was like for her. I was also asking Lisa about what pain is, where it originates, how we inherit perceptions that periods are going to be painful. We're talking about trauma and why Lisa takes a trauma-informed approach to her menstrual cycle work, and how trauma can be involved in our experience of the menstrual cycle and any challenges and pain that can be coming up. This is a really beautiful conversation, and it was really lovely to chat to Lisa, and I'm sure that you're going to get so much out of this, whether you live with pain in your cycle or whether you're a coach or a practitioner or a mentor in the menstrual cycle world. So settle in with a cuppa, and I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening as always. Welcome, Lisa, to Wildflow Podcast. How are you today?
I'm really good, Charlotte. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me. I'm really looking forward to chatting with you and hearing about your amazing work and, yeah, your story, and just helping people get to understand about this topic of pain and trauma in the menstrual cycle. I think it's something that people really need to and want to be hearing about. So before we dive in, let's start with a cycle check-in, as always. And I'll go first and then just invite you to share what that's like for you. So my cycle check-in, I like to think about the menstrual cycle, but then any of the other seasons and cycles as well that are, I can feel just influencing me, because I'm quite connected to those. So I'll invite you to share just what, how you do your cycle check-in afterwards. So for me, I am on cycle day 17, and I am right in my summer phase. So I haven't ovulated yet, but I'm just really feeling that rise in energy and like just more resilience I can feel is there as well, but also more ease. I can feel like this sense of like, you know, there's lots going on. It's a busy time of year, but I've also got this sense of ease with things and just kind of acceptance. It's almost like, okay, well, that's how it is. So we're just going to roll with it. We've had my daughter home from daycare for the last couple of days when they've been my work days. And I don't know if she's actually going to go back. She's sort of having a bit of a struggle with daycare. So we were already going to have 2 months of summer holidays. And so it looks like that's starting really, really early. But I can really feel this sense today that instead of like panicking about that and what that's going to mean for my work for the next 3 months, it's I'm currently in a phase of like, it will be what it will be and it's going to be fine and we'll just like roll with it. But I'm fully aware that like, give it another week or so and I'll be like freaking out about it. So yeah, just at the minute feeling, yeah, like lots of ease and flow. And there's also some tiredness there though. And physically quite sore, just from, I do jujitsu. So in my this time of my cycle, I feel like I can go for a long time and quite hard, and I'm like, don't go too hard, don't overdo it. But yeah, sort of feeling it in my body as well. So yeah, it feels quite nice. But I definitely have got ovulation to look forward to, which feels nice. And so yeah, time of day wise, it's 8 p.m. for me in Australia, which I know is at odds to you, but we'll come to that. So just kind of taking, like, now all the children are asleep and it's like that peace and that quiet. And, you know, I sort of get to come back to myself again after the evening routine, and just feel like I can drop into more of a yin kind of space to have this chat with you, which feels really lovely. And yeah, as I was saying, we're in a really busy time of year. So it's true for us, whichever hemisphere we're in, it's like that last month of get stuff done before the festive season or school holidays for us begins. And so there's a bit of frenetic energy, a little bit of overwhelm around me, but I'm trying to just buffer myself from that a little bit. Yeah. And then with the moon, I'm just realizing I'm not sure where we're at with the moon. I think we are just past first quarter. And we've got full moon probably around the weekend or sometime like that. And so that kind of rising energy is happening. And yeah, I can really feel that with my menstrual cycle and the moon cycle and maybe the seasons, just everything all being quite aligned. I am definitely in a state of like, let's get stuff done. Let's really crack things out and like creating and planning and getting details down and thinking very much about next year already, which, yeah, I'm trying to be present, but also planning ahead a little bit to give myself some space. So yeah, all in all, it's busy, and I feel like a bit like a swan. Like there's lots of like, you know, furious paddling, but I'm also trying to maintain a sense of like ease and flow and a bit more kind of like gentle pacing. So how about you, Lisa? If you were to do a cycle check-in, what's that look like for you?
Thank you very much, Charlotte. It's so gorgeous to listen to you and hear where you're at and visualize where you are in the world through all those different touch points in your various cycles. I love that so much. So thank you for sharing that and inviting me to share as well. I'm also in summer, so I'm on day 14 of my cycle. So very similar energy, different contexts though. I also feel like I am in this getting things done mode, which feels really good. And similar to you, Charlotte, I also have a sense of ease around it, which is with thanks to menstrual cycle awareness and, you know, being aware that the summer doesn't have to be frantic and chaotic or very fast. You can have ease there too. So I had my car serviced yesterday. I've got my national car check thing secure, the safety check that we have to do every couple of years next week. So that's a big tick off the list, you know. I also like sorted out my wardrobe for the winter and got rid of things over the weekend and met my sister in Dublin. So I'm in a place called Wicklow in Ireland, which is an hour south of Dublin. And I went to see my sister who's in Dublin over the weekend, and we were just rambling around and the Christmas lights were already on and the moon, the half moon was in the sky, and it was just so gorgeous. So I'm starting to really enjoy those wintry vibes that are happening while I'm in my summer, I suppose, and looking forward to some social plans in December. December is a really nice month here in Ireland for meeting your friends, going for drinks, having dinners. It's a really, really fun time. So I'm definitely in that place in my cycle where I'm wanting to connect and socialize and be out in the world and get things done. But also, similar to you, I'm really grateful that I've found myself in a place where I'm really enjoying the slowing down energy, that undercurrent in the autumn and winter. And I actually think it's obviously thanks to menstrual cycle awareness that has helped me to lean into those energies more and embrace the seasons for what they are. But also the pandemic did that too, really helped me to really think about like the actual seasons, not just my cycle seasons, but the actual seasons, because I remember being at home in my home at the time by myself and just literally looking out the window every day and like watching this tree change, you know, every day throughout 2020 and 2021. So yeah, I'm really enjoying the cozy vibes and the candles and the cinnamon tea and just that kind of energy, you know. And I lit the fire a few nights ago, things like that, you know. So that's where I am in my cycle. And also, similar to you, I have made space in my diary for planning as well for 2024, which I normally like, it kind of gets squeezed into pockets of time here and there, but I've actually carved out a few days in December to really kind of plan and think things through, and personally and mostly work planning. So it was because I'd listened to someone on a podcast saying that, you know, she takes time in her diary to plan, and I was like, oh, that's so inspiring. I want to do that as well. So so I've done that, and I'm really looking forward to those few days in early December to plan a little bit better the year ahead. And I think something like that will really help calm my nervous system, you know, because things can be a little bit chaotic, as you know, life and work and all that and being an entrepreneur. So, I'm really looking forward to that. So that's where I am in my cycle. A lot going on, but at the same time, slowing down and enjoying that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Lisa. I loved listening to that as well. And just really feeling the similarities between us. but also the differences based on where we're at in the world and how that's influencing us, and how also we're a few days apart in our cycle, but it's the same season, and maybe also how our cycles are different, even though we're in the same season, like how that season's coming up for us, given that I'm not ovulating yet and it sort of feel like I'm on the rise. And, you know, you've described your experience of this summertime too. So lots of similarities there, which just feels really nice to tune into and notice. And, oh, it's just really feeling into like the gift of planning ahead at this time of year, and what you were saying about being gentle on our nervous systems. And I was just thinking that before you said it, just what a gift it is actually to be able to like spread things out. Like I made a calendar and like was planning out my different programs and the different offers and the different like when I need to be doing this and when I need to be doing that, and thinking about, you know, coordinating things, and just been launching my main program for next year as well and doing enrollments. So I feel like I'm just going to get it all tied up in a nice bow now, ahead of next year. And so it feels like I can take that space over the calendar summer. And just what you were saying there about, you know, summer doesn't have to be that frenetic, burnout, overwhelming time where it's just super busy. And I feel like that's hopefully what I'm giving myself, is this chance to enjoy the summer when it comes, and to be like with my kids and with my family, and to have a bit of time and a rest from working when it comes, because I'll have done this prep work now. So yeah, just, you know, maybe this is an invitation for people listening as well. Like if you're, you know, in your job, or if you run your business, or just in general life, just taking that moment to think about what we can do now so we can free up some time for pleasure and connection and family and celebration and joy and all of those good things from summer.
I love that you say that, Charlotte, because I was thinking, I've been thinking recently that planning, it's a skill to learn, you know, and interesting, you're talking about onboarding for people who are not yet in business, because I know a lot of your listeners are starting out and or maybe they're already in business. A lot goes on behind the scenes, you know, if you're running programs.
Yeah,
a lot.
Huge.
And it's like, and I didn't realize how much there was going on behind the scenes until I was in it, you know. So, and it was like really stressful, and because I hadn't planned as much as I quote unquote should have, but then we all learn, you know. So yeah, that was a big lesson for me to learn. It's like, oh, okay, I need to carve out time to plan things in advance so I can set myself up a bit better for success. And yeah, if you are kind of a flowy person, you know, and I'm not the most structured person. I do like structure, but I'm not like very routined, and I can prioritize very well with my intuition, but that doesn't always, you know, help me because I have to plan, you know. So it's just, yeah, I'm trying to get better as well at planning in advance. And I do see it now as, oh, this is like a skill I just have to learn, you know, how to do better. So I'm always looking for tips and tricks and things that people do.
I hear you so much. I feel like just more similarities between us, because I feel like this year is the first year I've done anywhere near as much of an in-depth plan. Whereas I remember last year being like, oh, I need to think about next year. Do I? Oh God, really? And kind of like resisting it. Whereas this time I'm like, no, we're doing it because like it pays off. And so, yeah, I feel like I've kind of learned that skill a little bit, and, you know, had a nudge from other people around me as well, who've been doing the same sort of thing. And I think it's just so, like you say, there's so much that goes on, and you kind of just have to learn as you go, unless you're, you know, getting that kind of nudge from others who've been there before you, maybe. So yeah, I think that it looks, it might look like there's not much happening, but there's plenty happening behind the scenes. And yeah,
we can
use cycle wisdom in those ways, which I just love, and how we run a business. So yeah, that's so good. So I wanted to ask you, Lisa, actually, which kind of flows on from this, which is interesting. Because, you know, lots of our listeners are considering, you know, and I think maybe as well at this time of year, it's like thinking about, you know, what the future holds, next year changes particularly. But lots of people listening are considering you know, what they're doing in the world, what they're doing for work, how they live. You know, people are on a healing journey, or they're just really interested and have like a passion that they're looking to maybe switch out of a career or whatever it is that they've been doing, something that's not been serving them as much, and into something new, whether that, you know, is a business or, you know, maybe coaching or healing, or maybe something creative, or just something different, something that's, you know, we have a lot of women in business listening, like you say. And I'm just really interested because I think it's so interesting to and useful to hear stories of how people have jumped out of a career and then started a business, and especially a successful business. Would you be interested in just sharing with us why you left your previous career to come and create the business that you have? Like, what was the reason for that, and how did that shift go?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question, Charlotte. It's been a while since I've kind of taken that angle. So I was, to give you my background, it's like, how far do I go back? You know, I'm just thinking in my head, like, how far
the is all right story. Connected?
Yeah. So I was in school and in university, I would have been a very high achieving person. Okay. And because my personality and then also family stuff, conditioning and that kind of thing. So I was very high achieving. And when I got to university, then I kind of hit a little bit of a sort of a mini depression, and just felt very disconnected from what I was studying. I was actually studying business in university, but I studied business and French. And I was always really interested in language and communications and people and how people think and human behavior and all that kind of thing. And I spent some time in different countries. And then I had different jobs. At one point I worked in a bank, and then I worked in tech. I actually worked in Google in Dublin for a while, and was sort of in that real corporate world when Google was really taking off here in Europe. The European headquarters are in Dublin. And I was working there because I had these language and communication skills. And I just, after, I think it was there for about 2 years, and I really just didn't, I just didn't like it anymore, to be perfectly honest. I felt a bit stuck in a very corporate machine, and there was a lot of pressure to hit targets, and I just didn't feel connected to the purpose there. I think Google is a great organization. They do amazing things, and I love their products, but I just didn't feel very connected in there. So I actually went back and I did a master's then in linguistics. So I like, which was a master's in philosophy of linguistics. So I did that. And then with that, I started to teach English and spent some time in Spain teaching English there, and was kind of in this sort of in-between place. I wasn't really sure where I was going to go next and what I was going to do. And then I had another job in tech, and then I had another job in, I actually had a job in the arts sector as well, in communications in the arts. So I was sort of like moving around, doing different things, trying to find connection to something. But I knew I was really, really interested in people and culture and language and communications. And what was happening then was, in the background to all of that journey, I was struggling with my periods and was having really, really bad period pain. And to the point where, like, ever since I was about 15, 16 in school, I was like fainting with pain, and my mother would have to collect me, and I'd miss school and I'd miss sports and had to go home from work. And I remember being in Google one day and like hiding in the bathrooms in there because I had pain. And it was always sort of in the background. And this was well before the menstrual cycle awareness world was like out, you know, in the mainstream. Mm. It was before social media even, really. Well, we had Facebook, but we didn't really have Instagram and this culture we have now with social media. And I don't think there'd been many books written on the menstrual cycle at all. And I was quite alone and unsupported in that journey. And I still had a lot of shame about it as well. And I didn't understand what was going on. And I had been on and off the pill and I'd been to the doctor, you know, the whole story. And then what happened then was at one point I decided that I'd kind of had enough. And I decided, because, you know, the doctors were telling me things I didn't want to do and I just didn't find it very helpful. So then, because I was so determined, I just said to myself, look, I'm going to have to figure this out myself. So because I'd worked at Google, I was actually quite good at Google search. So at the time, there was like a certain, you know, certain inputs you could put into Google search to find very specific things. And I knew like different things that you could put into Google search to find stuff. So then I did eventually come across, more information about hormones and the menstrual cycle and started to do reading. And there was, I think then it was the year Elisa Viti had published her book, Woman Code. So I read that book and I watched her. She had a couple of talks as well. I think she actually did a talks at Google in San Francisco. So I watched that and my mind was quite blown by what she was saying. You know, when you first discover the work you're teaching, the work I teach, and you're just like, oh my God, like, it's not just about periods. Like, there's a whole cycle and, you know, my diet is like a factor and cosmetics are a factor and there's a cyclical element and all these different things I was learning. So my mind was really blown. And then I was like diving deeper into this work and I came across Red School, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with. But that organization and Alexandra Pope and Shani, their work, it was literally like the first or second year that they had established their work as a pair and as Red School, because I know Alexandra was teaching it before as a psychotherapist. And so I joined their courses and I got a listening partner and really dove very deep into this work. And that was also the year that I discovered mindfulness meditation as well. And it wasn't talked about in Ireland. It wasn't like in the bookshops or anything like that. Now, thankfully, we have mindfulness books as bestsellers, you know, every year. So I was really diving very deep into, I guess, my own psychosomatic healing. And I even created a folder in my bookmarks on my computer called Spiritual Healing. And I started to really like see, oh, this is a mind-body connection. You know, there's so much here. There's diet, lifestyle, hormones, there's science, there's spirituality, there's so much here. So I started to dive deep and I went on a really long, deep healing journey for myself. And I was in therapy. And anyway, so you asked about my work. So what happened then was I then decided to offer some women's circles in Dublin. And again, I was working as a language teacher and I was doing these women's circles on the side and I was teaching about the seasons and menstrual cycle awareness. And I had them advertised on meetup.com and they like sold out. I think I sold them for like €5. Maybe they were free. I can't remember, but there was like a waiting list to attend. And I could see how much pain there was for women and for people with cycles. And I could see how much this work was needed. And so what happened then was I just started to teach workshops. So then I was teaching kind of more formal workshops and like really offering education. And then I was still working, and then I got some invites from the mainstream media in Ireland to do interviews about the workshops that I was teaching, and then I was invited on to speak on television, which was very scary and very nerve-wracking. So I was invited to come on a morning show called Ireland AM to speak about menstrual cycle awareness. So I did that, and then around that time, I was doing more workshops and I was doing workshops around the country in Ireland. And I was collaborating with yoga teachers and teaching in their yoga studios. And I was starting to take one-to-one clients, and then I got a supervisor. And I had done a lot of different courses as well in the background. So I was doing different trainings and stuff. And then I guess the pandemic happened, and for other reasons, I left my job. And then in Ireland, when you quit your job or you become unemployed, one of the state benefits you can avail of, depending on the circumstances, is support to set up a business. So I opted for that. And when you're in that sort of support system in Ireland where the government is trying to help you to set up a business, other opportunities become available. So then I started to apply for grants and various different opportunities in Ireland to help set up, like things like free courses on bookkeeping and accounting and marketing and digital marketing, all that kind of stuff. And a little bit of funding here and there. Like I got my laptop funded, for example, and I got a little bit of support with setting up my website as well. So the government here in Ireland is very good for entrepreneurs. They really help where they can. And then it just started to build. It didn't happen overnight, but it happened very, very gradually. And I guess, like, deep down, I knew I always wanted to do something creative. I wanted to, you know, help people. I love teaching as well. I'm like a teacher at heart. It's in my family line as well. And then obviously communicating with people and listening to people. And yeah, I guess it's sort of just been a journey of a lot of my skills coming together, a lot of hard work, because it has been a lot of hard work, a lot of learning, a lot of investing in various supports. And then I think at the root of it really is a lot of curiosity. I'm a very curious person. I'm an Enneagram 5. So I'm always wanting to learn more and understand things. And I say to my own students, like, your curiosity is part of your intuition. So I really trust my curiosity as much as I can, and allow this sort of unfolding of my career to sort of be guided by that. And so that's always kind of really helped me to stay true to kind of what I choose to do next is really guided by where I'm leaning towards from a curious point of view. So I hope that answers your question, but that's how it's all unfolded for me. And it's, I now kind of see the, and I'm sure you can relate to this, like the business journey is for me very, very much a creative journey, a creative unfolding. And it's really hard sometimes, but it's also fun. It's also a lot of fun. Yeah.
Wow, that's gorgeous. Thanks so much for sharing that, Lisa. I really appreciate hearing that just for myself. I just think it's fascinating. And I love hearing what's brought somebody to, you know, be where they are, especially in this realm of menstrual cycle awareness, because like you say, it is relatively new. And I feel like it's just bursting a little bit into the mainstream. Like it's, or maybe that's just the bubble that we sort of inhabit, but it feels like it's really gaining traction now. And like you say, it's in the media and, you know, there's all kinds of articles being covered on it. So it feels like it's really turned a corner. But for you to have joined this work at such a point where it really wasn't, I think, you know, it takes a lot of courage and, like you say, curiosity to guide you. And just hearing how your business has unfolded over that time is really inspiring. And I think that's going to be really helpful for people to get a sense of, you know, how it went, what steps you took, how it unfolded. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I think I was really like as well. I think I was more interested in the coaching side of things than I was in the business. Like I think the bit from, like I say to my students, like your business is the structure that allows you to coach. It allows you to practice, you know, it's like the house and then you live in the house, you know, you aren't the house, but you live there. And so what happens in my house is my coaching practice. So my business allows me to deliver my coaching practice, and my coaching practice, I think that's the thing for people who are really interested in stepping into this world. I always say, like, get good at that, you know, like the business skills will follow and you can get loads of advice and support with business. But if you're really good at what you do, like people are going to want to work with you whether you have social media or not, you know? So I think that's a nice, for me, that's something that I always kind of told myself was like, if I can just be really clear on what it is that I do with people and be as good as I can be in the art, because it's an art. Like I think coaching is like it's a practice, you know, it's evolving all the time. And so that's kind of how I think about it. And that was a really, like my own supervisor really encouraged me to think like that. And then that took a lot of pressure off to be a good business person. Because I'm not always a good business person, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Love that analogy. That's so helpful. And it's so true. You know, and I think that the same, like when someone's starting off, it's always like, just get really good, like focus on the actual work that you're doing and the rest will just go from there. So I really love that. And I'm going to remember that as well, that the house is, you know, how you describe that as the structure that helps you to do what it is you're here to do. So I'm really curious then. So from there, I'd like to know why it is that you have really specialized in working with this trauma-informed lens and this pain lens around menstrual cycle awareness. I mean, pain is something that, you know, it's interesting when I was thinking about it. Like, I personally haven't had much pain with my periods. I used to have really, really heavy periods, and there was a lot of pain as a teenager, but in more recent years, less so. But as I work with a lot of children as well, and when, you know, we're talking about what is a period, what do you think, you know, what do you think happens, just finding out what they already know and what their kind of idea of having a period is, pain always comes up as something that they are just expecting because they've been told maybe by a friend or their mum has had painful periods, and, you know, so they're kind of just expecting that it's going to be painful. And I just would love to, get an understanding from you as to why pain and trauma-informed approaches to the menstrual cycle is something that you're so passionate about. And then I just would love to find out more about that as we have a chat.
Yeah, it's a good question. I guess the reason why I chose, well, like, obviously my personal journey with pain and the complexity of that journey. And it was very much a very non-linear journey, you know, and then I suppose a lot of the clients who started to come to me did have pain and or some, like, whether that was physical pain or psychological suffering, like PMDD or PMS, even anxiety, that kind of thing. I think it just goes back to me being really curious, and I like a challenge, you know, and the world doesn't have an answer for period pain as much as a lot of the world says it does. It doesn't, because we would be doing the thing if we knew what it was. So I think that there is no one right answer for working with people who have pain. And I just personally felt very drawn to working with people who have been around the block and who've tried a lot of things and who are feeling stuck and who maybe feel disillusioned or hopeless. Because I, from my professional point of view, there's a lot I can do with those people. And I've been there myself and I've worked with a lot of them now. Pain is both an emotional and a physical biochemical experience we have in the body. And the menstrual cycle is linked to our endocrine system and our nervous system. And so when we work with the nervous system and the endocrine system, we can have a really positive impact and influence on the menstrual cycle, as well as our thoughts. So I weave a lot of different lenses into my practice. So I'm working with the hormones, the endocrine system, the nervous system, and trauma and understanding trauma. And I'm also working with the emerging field of pain science as well. So that's kind of more on the, it's the nervous system work, but also on the cognitive side. So when you said young girls are expecting pain because they've heard that, that actually isn't helpful, and it can actually plant a seed in a young girl's mind that, you know, the menstrual cycle should be painful, for example. And so that's something we have to think about too, is these neural pathways we create in our brains and the thoughts we have and the associations we have about menstruation in the world. And, you know, so there's so many different lenses that I work with. And really, really, there is a lot you can do, even though those people might feel like they're stuck and they've tried everything. When I bring in a trauma-informed lens, what I usually see is a person who's been in pain for a long time and is looking for answers and who's tried everything and has lost hope. And they are then therefore in what's called a freeze response, or a very hijacked fight or flight response, always looking for answers. And usually the types of symptoms I see with that are very restrictive diets, a lot of fear with food, a lot, even with menstrual cycle awareness, fear that they're doing cycle awareness wrong, you know, or that they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing, you know, fear about overextending themselves, you know, even fear about not having enough boundaries, you know, all these things that we learn about in menstrual cycle awareness, it can be rooted in a lot of fear, internalized victim blaming as well. I see that dynamic play out, or comparing ourselves, or, you know, the good enough piece as well. That's a lesson, a sort of a really big theory in psychology. So that we can look at it from that lens as well. Like, what's good enough wellness? What's good enough health? Like, do we always need, because coaching as an industry is rooted in this like bettering mindset, you know, and improving and bettering. And so like, well, when do we get to the place where we're actually fine, where our health is good enough for now? And can I still, you know, leave the house? And a lot of people who've had very complex histories with chronic pain, you know, they're afraid to leave the house, or they're afraid to socialize, for example, you know. So people with PMDD as well, I work with a lot of women and people who experience PMDD, and they have anxiety before symptoms even arise, you know. So it's like we need to work with that nervous system to help soothe and rewire some of those neural pathways and build safety in the body. And so the more we build safety in the nervous system, and the more we heal things like shame and fear and all these things that we've internalized, the more chance our nervous system has to be present and to be safe. And when our nervous system is in a more regulated place, that includes our thinking and how we relate to ourselves and how we relate to the world around us, the more likely it is that you might have less pain. And I'm only saying that because I, you know, I can't claim that this is the answer, but in my practice, I've seen incredible things happen for people who take a very holistic approach to their health. Like, if we're only looking at it from a diet point of view, you know, and I think diet is really important, and there's loads we can learn, and there's loads I can tell, you know, your listeners, I'm sure they already know about eating for hormones and the importance of different nutrients. But if we're really like in a lot of fear about that, then that's defeating the purpose. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, Charlotte, but I just work very holistically. I'm always thinking like going back to the Enneagram vibe, like I'm always thinking, like, what am I missing? You know, what am I not seeing for this person? Like, what are they not seeing? I also work with the psychodynamic lens too, which is in my coaching practice. I consider my relationship with the client too as something that can inform me. So I'll give you an example. So for example, if I experience a stronger inner critic while I'm coaching someone about myself, and it's stronger than I'm used to, then sometimes, not always, sometimes it can be something I'm picking up on, you know, in the dynamic, and that can help inform me where our conversation might go next, you know, with, so every client I work with is very different. You know, I have a client coming into my head now, and we did some work around her relationship with her mom, and, you know, and how that was sort of playing a role in her identity as being a quote unquote sick person. So yeah, there's so many, and it because it's, there's so many different factors at play in my head when I'm working at people, it's a very, like I said, like the business piece, it's creative. We don't, like, it's an unfolding. I don't know where I'm going to go with clients actually. You know, I do have parameters in my head and certain things that I think about for every client. Like, you know, the diet piece is an important one, and, you know, teaching them my menstrual cycle awareness, and I teach them the nervous system and that kind of thing. But then I also just take a very intuitive approach with these tools in my toolkit and in my mind. And what I have seen personally is, people are really good at healing themselves. You know, they really, really are. They just need to get the right information, the right support, you know, with seeing their blind spots, finding ways to feel better in their bodies. And there's so many different things that we can do. And it doesn't have to be like, it doesn't, another thing as well is that I see, and I've seen in myself, is like adopting this very long to-do list for self-care, you know, to prevent pain or to have a better period. And again, it's just I can add a lot of stress onto what is very often a very stressful life, you know, for women, for mothers. And it's just not, it doesn't help, you know, it doesn't help at all. So if you can find those one or two things that do help, and the way, and then be really aware of the way we're relating to ourselves, you know, then that can really, really help. So I don't know if that answers your question about the, I know I didn't really touch on trauma, but it's to do with the nervous system. And the reason I take a trauma-informed lens is because a lot of people and women have a history of trauma. And when we have a history of trauma, we can carry a lot of freeze response energy and or fight or flight response energy. And that's very normal, very healthy, protective. That is a protective response from the nervous system, to help us survive and be safe and, you know, be okay in the world. But if we're living from that place, and I think our society, to be quite honest, like lives from the fight flight response, right? That's a lot of cortisol, a lot of adrenaline to be living off, and that depletes your life force energy. And there's not a lot of space for the rest and digest and trusting and, you know, feeling at ease. And like what we talked about before, you know, you're in your summer and you're busy, but you still have access to ease and you have access to options, and it's okay to let things be as they are, you know. So how can we get to that place more often? And the more we can learn how to be more often in rest and digest with ourselves, but also not shame or pathologize the trauma responses, then our body, that our life force energy, goes towards health and vitality versus survival and defenses. Yeah, so I'll stop there because I feel like I could talk about that forever, but that's what's coming out of my mind today.
Amazing. There's so much in there. Thanks for sharing, Lisa. There's so much wisdom and insight in there. And I think it's so fascinating. And I think that for anyone who's not especially considered, you know, if you're having painful periods, you know, the standard approach is, you know, go to a GP and you'll be given any number of options that generally don't treat the root cause. It's more that masking of, you know, that the experience and the symptoms, and, you know, altering hormones or shutting off the menstrual cycle altogether, or painkillers that are just going to override everything. And what I'm really hearing really clearly from you is that, you know, both that pains are, you know, arises, you know, really from trauma in a sense, and that it's all held in the body, and that's a real manifestation of that nervous system dysregulation, and a lot of those then challenges that come up about, like you said, about how we relate to ourselves and, you know, how we treat ourselves and how we care for ourselves and the standards that we have and, you know, all that internal kind of stuff that's really there as a result of all of, you know, those previous experiences or traumas or, you know, pain that's chronic and live with and then sends us into that state of fight or flight. And that, you know, instead of taking that approach of, okay, we're just going to shut it all down and like make it go away, when you can take that holistic approach, which is what you're doing, and go really into like what's underneath this, it sounds like there's just so much healing in there. And you were saying about, you know, incredible results with your clients, and that you don't know where it's going to go, because I'm sure, you know, and I see this with clients too, like I don't work in with pain specifically, but that you start off with somebody who comes with like a surface problem or like, you know, the main challenge. But then when you actually go deeper and deeper into it, there's, it's like, you know, a maze, like a rabbit warren, you know, you, all kinds of different things come up for acknowledgement and healing. And so really hearing that that's your, you know, why this is so important to you, not only from your own personal experience with pain, but from seeing like, okay, we can do, you know, some of these easy fixes, like maybe with diet or, you know, some lifestyle changes, but it's actually these deeper inquiries that relate to, you know, the trauma, really like getting to the root of those pain, that that's where the longer term sustainable healing is. Is that fair?
I think so. Yeah. Like it will really depend on every client. Like, you know, there are people, I do think that, obviously medicine, mainstream medicine has its place and it can be really helpful for people on their journey. And, some of the coaching I do is actually helping people to make decisions in the medical system, like whether to get surgery and just educating them a little bit on different options that they might need to think about. Because a lot of, like, you know, I'm thinking about endometriosis patients as well and people like that. And I think when it gets to that level, surgery is good, you know, like it's it is really good alongside this work. Or there are people who are really at risk in terms of their mental health, and therefore the pill or medication is really, really helpful. But yeah, I think, you know, and my work would sit alongside that for those people, you know. But this mind body work, I think, is really helpful, particularly for people whose pain fluctuates or moves around, or one minute it's there and the next minute it's in another place, or you know, they might have had cycles where they haven't had pain and then it comes back. And so that can very much be like a neural pathway type of pain as well. And they're not in their head, but it's the brain creates all pain. And so that can also come from neural circuits in the brain. But absolutely, there's a, like, even if you are someone who has PMDD and or endometriosis, you know, that's not a fun place to be. And the more we can work on healing the nervous system, learning to love ourselves, you know, really authentically, deeply, or not even love ourselves, like kind of be more self-compassionate sometimes is the first step, you know, and self-accepting, and start to speak kindly to ourselves inside of ourselves. It's so, so helpful, because whether you have trauma or not, like, we do live in a society that puts a lot of pressure on women. I think men too, actually, you know, but the patriarchal system affects all people, but it does affect women in a certain way. And when we can free ourselves from that, those systems in our head, you know, as Bell Hooks speaks about that in her work, she talks about it being like a liberatory process, you know, like this self-liberation in our brains from all the shoulds and all that, you know, because we don't see it because we've been raised in it. So it's a little bit of like fish out of water. We have to really think about these things. It can be really, really helpful. And yes, like the more we do that, then it allows our nervous system to have more space. And, you know, if you are going for surgery or something like that, or you're being supported in the medical system, I think working with the nervous system, working with the soul, working with the inside job work, healing, allows that energy to be redirected towards healing, as opposed to be in this survival threat response all the time. Because if we're in that survival threat response all the time, very often the pain can come back, or inflammation can come back in another way, you know. So it's very, yeah, it can be very deep healing to do that kind of work, for sure. Yeah.
Thanks for clarifying that. I think that's a really important thing to say. And yeah, I'm really glad that you mentioned that about, you know, for some people, the like medical approaches are absolutely necessary, you know, and that it can bring relief and bring solutions for people. And then there's this other way of doing things too.
Yeah.
And they can be a compliment. And I think that's just fantastic. Yeah. So really hearing that, you know, for people who are experiencing these pain or flare-ups or PMDD, things like that, that there's a lot of hope out there to find healing. And, you know, there's like a really holistic approach that can be taken. So that's just, you're doing really important work. And yeah, I love hearing about it. So could you give some tips, like maybe for someone, I'm just imagining if someone's listening, like going, well, I get pain, but like, is it normal? Like, is it not? Like, you know, what, like I've been trying to get some answers and I can't get some answers. Like, I don't know where to go next. Like, what would you suggest to somebody in that kind of situation to try and get some answers and yeah, what they might do next?
I usually do start with having a look at diet, unless, you know, for people who have a history with eating disorders, it's kind of different. But if you don't, then I would do a little bit of reading around blood sugar balancing. So, and only because it's really easy to do and you can get really good results from doing it, like literally the next day. So there is a book called Glucose Revolution. And I can't remember the lady's name, Jessica. I think she's Dr. Jessica in Shoupe or something like that. I can't remember, but it's her. I think her name is French, but she goes by the handle Glucose Goddess on Instagram, and you can check her out. I won't go into the detail of what it is she's teaching, but if you can check her out, and there's these what's called blood sugar balancing hacks that she has, and it's all about the order of food and making sure you include healthy fats in your meals and enough protein and that kind of thing. And when you do that, you can really support balancing your blood sugar levels. And when you support balancing your blood sugar levels, it helps to balance out hormones. And if you are someone who gets hangry or very low blood sugar levels, or kind of the shakes between meals, or you might crave sugar, this will really help you. Cause I was that person too, and would get like slumps and that kind of thing. So thinking about diet in that way, it's actually not changing your diet. It's actually just changing the way the order of food and the way we think about diet, and some you can add things in to make sure you have a bit more balance. So that is a really handy, easy place to start that doesn't carry a lot of emotion. And then I would then, you know, maybe try that for a while. And then of course, menstrual cycle awareness, like the work you're teaching Charlotte, you know, like really leaning into, especially that inner autumn time, like we said before, planning in advance for your period, especially if you have pain. It's such a helpful thing to do to, you know, maybe clean the house a little bit when you have the energy, change your sheets, get some meals planned or in the freezer, and plan ahead so you have space in your diary to rest if you can, and just let your body relax as much as you can when you're in pain. Take a painkiller if you need it. Like, don't feel any shame about that, you know, just do what it is that you need to do. I also sometimes, when I used to get a lot of pain, I'd have to distract myself from, I'd have to like watch some like really sort of trashy thing on TV and just completely distract my brain from any kind of thinking. So that would really help me personally. And then over the long term, it is very, very helpful to reflect on a few things. So the first being, where is there stress in your life, you know, that you might be ignoring? And do a little reflecting on that, or journaling. You know, let yourself sit with feelings. I think that's a really, really big one. A lot of us, you know, suppress emotions, myself included. because again, we're not trained to process emotion in our society, right? So really like choosing to do that and sitting down, doing a little journaling, being curious about what feelings you might be ignoring, or you mightn't have even noticed, you know, because you're busy. And that is really important, because I think stress can come from places that we don't realize. You know, you could sit down and think that you're journaling about work, but then it's actually like something, you know, you fear about money that goes back years, you know, so that can be really helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the things I see in my work is a lot of people are afraid to feel anger. I think women are socialized away from anger. So that's something to consider, like, you know, what big emotions are we afraid to look at? And then asking yourself the question, like, how can I build the skills and the resources and the capacity to start to feel a little safer with looking at this? So that could be working with a coach or a therapist, or journaling, or, you know, maybe buddying up with a friend who is in this space, wanting to be, you know, because it is it's just like a skill. Like for me, like when I think back to language learning, it's like you get better at stuff, you know, or coaching skills, like you can get really good at sitting with feelings. Like that's something you just have to learn. So I think that's a really helpful thing to do, because what that does is the more you learn to sit with and explore your emotional world, it sends a message to your nervous system that you are giving your emotions attention. And if we don't do that, then what happens then is our nervous system can be in this chronic fight or flight, like trying to push down feelings. Whereas if we give it some time and attention, then our nervous system is off the hook, if you will. You know, it gets a day off. Mm-hmm. It gets a day off work or a morning off because you're looking at stuff. And having said that, you do need to be careful and take time with this and be gentle with yourself, because it can obviously bring up anxiety if you've never done this before. So just take it gently, make sure you're safe and comfortable, and do get the help of a therapist or a coach, you know, to support you. But that is a really, really big thing, is like over the long term to address our emotional lives and see where we might be ignoring things. And the seasons, like journaling with the seasons, can really help unveil things for ourselves. So yeah, those are kind of the few places I'd start with: the diet, menstrual cycle awareness, and then emotions. Yeah.
Incredible. Thanks. That was really generous and really helpful. And I'm sure that people listening will just be feeling like there's a, you know, a way in. And I really liked how you, you know, shared some gentle approaches as well before getting into the meat of that, you know, the emotions and the kind of deeper stuff. And I can just imagine how that approach would be really, really powerful. So I'll include the resources that you've mentioned throughout just in the show notes. So if anyone wants to, you know, find any more, then they can obviously click through. I think that's really, really helpful. Thanks, Lisa, for sharing.
Mm, you're so welcome.
So I'd just love to hear then a bit more about the work that you're doing and like what you're offering. So, you know, if people want to work with you or learn from you, could you share mm-hmm. with everybody what you're doing, what you're up to, what's on offer, and how people can find out more?
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much. So my coaching practice, where I work with clients, there's two options. You can work with me one-to-one, or I have a new group course coming out in January, which is called Women in Pain. And that will be a 6-week course, you know, diving into all this stuff, excuse me, that we're talking about today in a small group. So that's all up on my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com. And then that's my client work. And then I have my professional work, where I'm supporting professionals. I have a 6-month long certified professional training, the menstrual cycle coaching and facilitation professional training. And there you train to become a menstrual cycle coach. But most importantly, I teach you the skills and things to think about. And in terms of coaching and group facilitation as well, it's a whole other topic, mm-hmm. group dynamics and all that stuff. And we learn as a group there. That starts every year in September. So the next round is September 2024, but we do have the waiting list open for that. And on the back of that as well, I do also have very small little supervision groups for people who are already menstrual cycle coaches or professionals working in this area, in this space, who are already integrating cycle awareness into their work. And they want to be in a supportive container with other professionals. And so that's also starting in January. And that's just a call once a month. So it's not as frequent, but it's supportive for professionals. And yeah, so two offers on the client side and two offers on the professional side. And then I've got a podcast as well called From Pain to Power. So that's where you can hang out with me and learn.
Amazing. That's such amazing work that you're doing. And I think both sides of the coin sound incredible. The work that you've got for clients who really need to be held in that process of exploring their pain, exploring their cycle. It sounds really, really powerful. And then your course sounds incredible too. And yeah, I can see how you're really bringing together, you know, your particular focus of cycle work to help people to be really robust facilitators in that space. And the supervision program sounds amazing too. So yeah, anyone who's wanting that level of support as a cycle coach, it just sounds like, you know, a really wonderful place to be. So thanks, Lisa. I'll pop all your links in the show notes and, you know, people can come and find you and find your work and your podcast. And yeah, just thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. I've really loved chatting with you and hearing your story, you know, your personal story, your business journey, and about this topic that's just so important, and this holistic approach that you take. So thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Charlotte. It's so fun. And I loved your questions. It really got me thinking today. So it's really, really nice to connect and share with your audience. And sending big love to everyone listening. It's a great community to be in. Mm.
Thanks so much for listening to Wildflow. I love having you here. If you're loving this podcast, why not leave a rating and review and share your favorite episodes with those who you think would love to listen? And if you share on Instagram, tag me at charlotte.puanto.coach. To take the next step in your own journey of learning how to live, love, and lead and flow with your cyclical nature, and for deeper guidance and support in your cycle embodiment journey, you can discover my freebies and join my Wildflow Coven, my new Cycle Wisdom membership, or even discover my group programs, private cycle coaching, and courses, all on my website at charlottepuanto.com. Until next time, go well with the flow of your body's cyclic nature.